Thank you for standing and reading and praying with us as we read in Proverbs 29, verse number 18. No doubt this message or this text, this verse has been read and no doubt been preached from many a times, many a years, many a generations. And I'm not no better than any of the other preachers. I count myself less than those that maybe have preached it before. But the one thing I do know is today we need the Lord to preach through me today. I want to say this, that this scripture oftentimes is used in a connotation of that people having a vision on having a goal for their life. But as I began to read, as I began to pray and seek God's face, the first thing that I had to do, Brother James, was ask God to forgive me of my shortcomings and sins. I don't want man's knowledge to preach me, Brother Mike. I want God's Spirit to preach me. As I've heard it many a times, I just don't want you to hear me preach. I'm asking God that you would feel Him preach through me. And can I say, we need the vision that comes from God. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not falling out, and I still think it's good, it's a good thing to have, that you have goals set for your life, but your goals be set by the Lord, Brother James. But in this Bible, the writer was writing for a particular purpose on something else also. He said, well, there's no vision, the people perish. Can I say, in those days, they needed that vision that came from God. And can I say, in those days, the vision came from God through the prophets and the men that God had set up. I'm reminded in Hebrews chapter number 1, Brother James, he said, in sundry times and diverse manners, God spake unto our fathers by the prophets. Back then, that the vision had to come through the men of God, had to come through holy men of God, where God moved upon them. When they were moved upon by the Spirit of God, they was to proclaim, they was to preach, and they was to prophesy the words of the Lord. Y'all with the preacher? I find throughout all Scripture, when you read them Old Testament prophets, some of them say it was the vision of Isaiah or the vision of Ezekiel. And can I say this? The writer of Proverbs said, when there's no vision, the people do perish. I thought about this. It says in the definition of a vision, when you first get to what man would look at, it's the act of seeing external objects, something that you can see outwardly, an actual sight. And it says, in the second verse says, the faculty of seeing sight. Vision is far more perfect and acute and some other thing in other people than others. Some have better vision than others. Something imagined, they say, to be seen, though not real, a phantom or a specter. They would say some folks having a vision is something it's not real, something and they imagine. But that's the reason why I like old Noah Webster 1828. He says, but in the Scripture, it is the revelation from God, an appearance or an exhibition of something supernaturally presented to the minds of the prophets by which they were informed of future events and through and by the Spirit of the Lord. Such were the visions of Isaiah and Amos and Ezekiel. And can I say today, I can find a goal that people have. You'll find mission statements. You'll find churches with mantras that say this is their goal and this is their vision. But Brother James, I think what we need in today's day and time is that vision that comes from God. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We don't need some phantom imagination. We don't need some vision that comes through imagination. We need some men that'll stand flat-footed and proclaim the Word of God. I want you all to listen real quickly. The gospel is a proclamation. The gospel is not a proposal. The gospel is a proclamation. It is not necessarily just a prize. The gospel is a proclamation. It's not a deal to be made. The gospel is the truth. It is the truth of Christ. We had a Savior that was born of a virgin, a woman by the name of Mary. He lived 33 and some odd years, and He was crucified upon the cross. He bore the sins of all the world, Brother James. Oh, Paul said that He became sin, that knew no sin, that He might become the right, that we might be made in the righteousness of God. The gospel is a proclamation. We've got guys out there, we got people out there, we've got women out there, we got folks trying to make the gospel of Jesus Christ as something that you can get profit off of. Friend, the gospel is not something that we profit. The gospel is something that we proclaim. It's already took place. It's already the truth. When Jesus died upon the cross, He said, it is finished. I thank God there's nothing left for Him to do. I'm saved to the uttermost. I got saved from the guttermost, put me into the uttermost. Oh, bless God. I'm glad today to know that Jesus saves. That's what we need to proclaim today.
That's the vision that we need. I find in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, the Bible says the word of God was precious in those days because there was no open vision. Can I say, just because Eli was the priest and just because he had some scriptures wrote down didn't mean that the vision was being preached. Y'all with the preacher? I find that it falls smack dab squarely in the lap of God's people, Brother Eddie, that not only do we have a Bible that we can play, God thank Him, that we can read and follow, but it's a Bible that we ought to be a-doing. Y'all listen to the preacher. James says it's not the hearer that's justified, but it's the doer of the word that is justified. I know you might say, preacher, that's hard for us to live by. It ain't hard for us to live by. Transgression makes our life hard. Sin makes our life hard. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And I know today that the Lord wants to bless every single one of us with the peace that He gives and that life that is more abundant. But I do know the vision. You won't get that life. I find in the scriptures, and I preached on Wednesday night, I preached we'll stumble in our mind before we'll stumble in our walk or in our feet. We'll stumble in our way that we think Him. Preached Wednesday night about how that when man's thinking got wrong, when man's thinking got turned inward and looking upon self, that's when God's wrath came upon the people. Y'all listen to the preacher? I didn't know. I'm sitting there and I'm digging around and I'm sitting there and I'm laid up and laid up on the couch yesterday because I couldn't do a lot of things. And I'm just sitting there looking. I'm finding one preacher and I'm finding another preacher. Then I found another preacher preaching the very same thing today. Brother James, that we'll stumble in our mind. We'll have things wrong with our thinking. Can I say the reason why we have a lot of problems with our thinking, Brother Eddie, is because a lot of folks don't want to hear or the proclaiming of the gospel is not being preached. I say praise God today. I'm glad I'm in Mount Zion Baptist Church. I'm glad I'm in Mount Zion Baptist Church. Hey, this church, that's a time when you can say, hey, man, I'm glad I'm in church. I'm glad I'm in a place where the Bible will be proclaimed. I'm glad I'm in a place where the Spirit can be freely to move. I'm glad I'm in a place where the songs of Zion can be lifted up and praises lifted up to God. If there's nothing else, brother, I'm glad that I came today and you came today to let me know 5 weeks ago you got saved. Woo! Bless His holy and righteous name. The vision is still important. And the Bible says without that vision, the people will perish. I'm saying this today. There's people who's got a proclamation or they don't have the proclamation. They got an offer. They got a proposal. They got a different program they'll offer unto the people. But I'm finding today those people, it may endure for a little bit. It may get amongst the people's hearts and it may get around the places or get into their mind. But Brother Eddie, it never endure. It only endures until the cares of the world comes and chokes it out. Or the situations and the burdens of life come run them away, or the fowls of the air come take it up. But I know this: the Bible says everywhere that gospel is preached and that proclamation of God is preached, if it gets to that good and honest ground of the heart, and the Bible says they understand what's being preached, the Bible says it'll produce some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold fruit. Y'all listen to the preacher. I know this today, and some folks say, preacher, it's out of touch. Some people say, preacher, it's out of style, and it may be. But friend, it's still right to preach the gospel. Without the preaching of the gospel, so many people be lost and damned to hell. I know some people may think differently on this. But they had those verses. They had verses in Eli's days. But Eli was a priest who was all jacked up, Brother Don. He done left the things of God that he was supposed to be performing. Y'all with the preacher? Amen. He wouldn't deal with sin in his own home. Y'all listen to the preacher? Oftentimes, you say, preacher, it always gets back to sin. Can I say this? You better do something about your sin problem, or your sin problem's going to do something with you. And I know this, there's an answer for your sin. His name's Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not on a soapbox telling you how imperfect I am. I'm a broken, frail man without the grace of God. I'm nothing unless Jesus lives inside of me. But it has to be, the vision has to be proclaimed. The vision has to be preached if you'll have it. I find in the scriptures, I find in Proverbs, when it talks about there's no vision and when there's no preaching that's being done, I'm finding that when there's no vision, there's no direction. And when there's no direction, there's no information. When there's no information, there's no instruction. When there's no instruction, there's no reproving. And when there's no reproving, there's no repenting. And oftentimes people don't like it, people don't understand. But can I say, you ain't got to let, I've heard folks say, well, preacher, mine was this way, mine was that way. your way, the things that happened when you got saved, all of our ways may not line up. Brother James was 11. He talked about what happened with him. I was 27. The things that happened when I was 27. That brother said he got saved. Brother Mark got saved in a cemetery. I mean, all the places can be different. The situations can not have to be the same. But friend, it has to be the same God saving every single one of us. Amen. The Bible says repentance towards God. I still believe in repenting. Repentance towards God. We got people that says you don't have to preach repentance no more. Jesus preached repentance. Peter preached repentance. James preached repentance. Paul preached repentance. Jason Faulkner preaches repentance. Mount Zion Baptist Church preaches repentance. And we'll always preach repentance. Why? Because it's repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. I like what the old preacher said, old Billy Mitchell. He said, how I know I repented, because I keep repenting. The Lord keeps showing me my shortcomings, my inconsistencies. Y'all with the preacher? Don't get super spiritual on me. But I will say this, I come short. I ask God to forgive me, but I don't keep wallowing in the mess I'm in. Y'all with the preacher? Thank God for this. When there is no vision, there is no direction. There is no information. There is no instruction. There is no reproving. There is no repenting. I find it hard today that we got a country where 80% of them, or 70 to 80% of them now profess that they're a Christian. They believe in Jesus Christ. But the attendance to church is below 50% almost now. God help us. I still believe in the church. I still believe you ought to go to church. I believe you ought to yoke up or join up with the local church. And you get in there and you work and you labor as God wanted you to work and labor. Is that still right? I still believe in that. Why? Because the vision comes from God through His men, through the church. I've had people say, well, I get upset whenever you mention church. I'm not talking about the ones. I'm talking about the ones who's got the men who dress up in gowns and have crowns and things. I'm talking about them men called of God proclaiming the gospel through and by the Spirit of God. Y'all with the preacher? This is not my doctrine. This is the Lord's doctrine. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 4, he that hath not the doctrine of Christ hath not life. You've got to have that doctrine of Christ. Paul said, if you have not Christ, you're none of his. And can I say in 1 John chapter 5, it says that we've got to have the witness of God in ourselves. It's greater than the witness of men. And I find that when there's no vision, that meant there's no prophecy, there's no preaching, no preacher. If there's no preacher, some folks get upset over this, but there's no preacher to give counsel, instruction, and things divine, direction to divine things. I'm reminded in Revelation chapter number 2 and chapter number 3, when God told John to write a letter unto the angels of the church, 7 churches, that was the vision that had to be proclaimed. Y'all with the preacher? Now this message is not about me. I'll get to the point where I'm trying to get to. The Lord wants me to get to and when He wants me to get it to. But that vision come from the Lord, and it was to be penned by John and given to those men that were over those churches. Y'all with the preacher? We got this world today where I hear people all the time saying, well, I got my own vision, I got my own way, I'm going to worship God my own way, you worship your way. Y'all ever hear that? I got a lot of people, I love deer hunting, I love fishing, I love a bass boat, I love all those things. And Brother Don, you know, I know you like fishing. And how many times, though, I've heard a man say, well, I can get close to God in a deer stand, right? Well, deer season in the state of Ohio is only from the end of September to the end of February, so what are they doing those other months of the year? Y'all with the preacher? Right? And if God wanted man to get close to Him with a deer stand, He'd say, upon this deer stand I've built my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But He said, I built this, it's upon the rock I've built my church. The rock is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ being the one who saved us from sin. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one Spirit above all and in all and through y'all. Y'all with the preacher? You got to come. No man come unto the Father unless He come by me. I get more and more people, more and more years, more and more things upon the news, more and more things being said. That you can go this way. It's a spiritual way. We're all spiritual beings, and we got to just try to identify our spirit with the greater spirit. You know how my spirit was identified with the greater spirit? God showed me that I was dead in my sins. Amen. And then the Holy Ghost of God came and He quickened my mortal body, quickened my spirit, and gave me a brand new life. I find that He said, well, there's no vision, the people perish. I find in 2 Chronicles chapter number 15, verse number 3, He says, now for a long season Israel hath been without a true God. Israel got themselves in troubles, got themselves the wrong kings, got themselves the wrong priests. They got jack-legged in their beliefs. Y'all listen to the preacher? They got themselves what they wanted. They got themselves what they thought they needed. And can I say this? When man gets what he wants, he does not get God. Some folks may think this hard to believe, but our flesh does not want God. Our flesh does not want the Spirit of God. Our flesh doesn't want the Word of God. Our flesh wants things that makes our flesh to feel good. That's the reason why our flesh loves sin. Y'all listen to the preacher? Even Moses said, the writer of Hebrews said that Moses knew that sin brings forth pleasure for a season. Y'all listen to the preacher? But we got a year, we got a generation today. We got American Christianity that preaches that sin and religion can walk hand in hand. Because they'll say that we're all sinners, so therefore sinners, sin and religion can walk hand in hand. Can I say this? Pure religion, undefiled in the sight of God. This is what James said in chapter number 1. He said, first visit the fatherless and their afflictions, those two. Fatherless and widows, right? But then he said, keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's what he said. Spotted lives by sin don't go good with pure religion. Y'all with me, the preacher? That's why I've been having to preach on pure religion about being spotted here the last little bit, because we have a generation now where even the world, the radio and the TV, everybody's trying to say that everything that we're doing is wrong. All you got to do is live and be free, and whatever feels good is right. You know, that doctrine was in Acts chapter 17, the Nicolaitans, or not the Nicolaitans, but the Epicureans and all those men in Acts chapter 17, when the Apostle Paul showed up, all they wanted was themselves to feel good in the flesh. And when they felt good in the flesh, they said that everything was fine. But the Bible says there was a problem going on. City was given over to idolatry. They didn't care what they was worshiping, just as long as it made them feel good. And you know what happened to the man of God, the preacher of God, the Apostle Paul? The Bible said it stirred him in his heart. And what did he do? He began to preach Jesus Christ dead and resurrected. And what happened? They put him on Mars Hill, and they said, we're going to hear some more of this. And he said, the altars that you've built, I've seen all of them, but you got one to the unknown God. He said, him I'm going to declare unto you. He said, God don't dwell in temples made with hands. Can I say, God don't hang out here Monday through Saturday waiting for us to show up again on Sunday. If you're saved, God lives inside of you. I say amen right there. And that's even for the good. That's why I've never had to beg bread. You can tell I've never had to beg bread. Amen right there. But the oxygen's mixed just right so I can breathe. Christians sing that song about that water he could drink. I'm glad, Sister Melissa, I can drink the water. We're getting more water now than we ever have. Some people say, why are we getting all this water for? Maybe the water table is real low, Brother Ronnie, and God's going to fill it back up underneath us so we got plenty to drink. I say amen. But God knows what he's doing. And the Apostle Paul was that man of God that preached. He said, well, there in the children of Israel, in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, it talked about how they went a long season without God. They wanted things their way. They wanted the preacher that they wanted. And the Bible says they went a long season without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. They went their own way. I find in Amos chapter number 8, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says that God was going to send a famine in those days, and he did. It was for the reading of the Word of God, but the preaching of the Word of God. He said it was for the hearing of the Word of God. Can I say this? Those people turned their ear from the Lord. They turned their neck from the Lord. But most importantly, turned their heart from the Lord. You say, preacher, why do the preachers preach so hard nowadays? And can I say there's very few left. The reason why they're preaching so hard is so folks' hearts would turn back to God. It's God's will that none would perish, but all would come unto repentance. I find in the days and times where sin is love, mediocrity is something that is accepted. And I remember the old statement, what one generation accepts, the next generation embraces. And friend, I'm not accepting a watered-down gospel. I'm not accepting some sugar daddy in a pulpit. I want a salt-filled man of God preaching the gospel. Y'all listen to the preacher? That's what we need today in time, is the vision would give. But he said, in those days, I was sent a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. But of hearing the words of the Lord is what he said. Excuse me. I'll not find it. In the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter. We love that chapter. Nicodemus being told born again. We love that chapter when Jesus says the Spirit cometh and goes. No man knows where it comes from or where it's going. We just know that it is. Man must be born of water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus talks about how that Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, and he said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto myself. Then he gave the famous, the most beloved verse, used to be the most beloved verse of the church. Hopefully it still is in your hearts, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love that verse. Like the next verse too, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Aren't you glad God didn't condemn you in your state? Aren't you glad God didn't leave you in the trash heap of sin? Aren't you glad he didn't leave you totaled and wrecked and ready for the scrapyard, but he salvaged your life, gave you a brand new title. Somebody say amen. Saved you from your sin. Gave you a brand new start. I say thank God for that. But in a couple of verses below it, in John 3:19, it said, but the darkness, that men love darkness rather than light. They didn't like the preaching of the word, Brother James, because it brung their sin to light. They didn't like it when people went out. They didn't like it when people told them about their sin. It made them mad. That's why some of y'all get mad at me. I don't know what you're doing. God knows. He's got the big mouth. I don't. And he's telling us what's wrong with our world. It's the sin in our life. But when a preacher won't stand and preach the gospel, the vision's not there. The vision's not being proclaimed. The information, the direction, the instruction, the reproving, and the repenting doesn't happen. And people just go along their ways thinking everything's right. You say, preacher, does it happen? It happens quite often. In 1 Kings chapter number 22, we find that they had the host Jehoshaphat and them. They was preaching. We came across this not too long ago, how they was going to go to war, and they brought out 450 prophets to say that everything was going to be all right and go. You know, you can find you a church you can go to, and they're going to preach everything's fine with you, everything's good for you, everything's hunky-dory, you ain't got to worry about nothing, just keep on doing what you're doing. God loves everybody and everything's fine. You know, you can find more churches like that than you can find a leather lug, stiff back, and a person who'll stand flat-footed and preach you what thus saith the Lord. Can I say amen to that? I say, thank God, that's what we need. And all them 450 prophets, if you'll have it, all 450 Baptist preachers stand right there giving the same message, but there was one who was a man of God in the prison. Preaching the God. You know what that king said? He goes, I hate him. I don't like him. Because every time he preaches, he don't say nothing nice to me. He don't say nothing nice about me. Friend, I'm not here to be a friend on your Facebook. I'm not here to be a part of your fan group or your fan club. I'm here to preach the gospel. That man's here to preach the gospel. That man's here to preach the gospel. And can I say this? If you've been saved and born again, your life's supposed to be preaching the gospel. I don't care if you're called by God to stand behind a wooden pulpit. Friend, if you're out there and you're a child of God, you should be preaching Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, and coming again. Right? So I find the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. The Apostle Paul's got the papers and he was about to go to round up more of the church. He done held the garments of the people that stoned and killed that deacon. Preaching Deacon Stephen. Preached a message, got them all mad, cost him his life. But Brother Don, if he hadn't have preached that message, this is, you're going to take this or leave this. If it weren't for him preaching that message, the preacher of the Gentiles never would have heard the gospel. Y'all listen to the preacher? Because the Apostle Paul at that time, whose name was Saul, held the garments of them that stoned and killed Stephen. But as Stephen was going on a trip, maybe 400, I don't know. But as he was journeying, the Lord stopped him on his road to where he was heading. The Bible says that light shined around him and Paul fell to his feet. The Lord began to talk to him. The Lord began to speak to him. He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm that which thou persecutest, but it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. What he was saying was, you can do what you can, but right now you are confronted with your mortality and you're confronted with the power of God. Can I say this? I believe this. When you're confronted with the power of God, whether you get saved or not, it'll change your life. And I'll say this, when the power of God confronts your life, the best thing for you to do is get saved and surrender to the Lord. But the Bible says that he smote Paul with blindness. But in a vision, he spoke to Ananias, the priest, and said, there's one coming to your house. He said, I want you to lay hands on him. Now, Ananias knew who it was because he told him, the Lord told him who was coming. He said, man, Lord, that guy's been persecuting church and killing church members and doing all things in the church. He goes, you sure you want him in my house? He said, yes, I'm sending him your way because he's going to be the light unto the Gentiles. Thank God for the vision. The Bible says when Saul came in, the Bible said that Saul walked in and I put his hands on him and the scales fell off his eyes. You know what Saul did because of the vision? He went out and started preaching the gospel to the Jews in all the synagogues. You know what happened to him? They wanted to kill him, just like they want to kill every good Baptist preacher. But can I say this? He followed in the vision. Can I say this? Acts chapter number 26, he gives his testimony to King Agrippa. When he gives his testimony to King Agrippa, you know what he tells him? He tells him the same thing that happened to him in Acts chapter number 9. You listen to what the preacher say? Amen. I ain't been long. But can I say this? He said, when I was walking on the road, he said, King, there was a light that shined around all of us. He said, but I heard a voice. Thank God, for he heard the voice of God. The Bible says he told King Agrippa what happened and everything was done. When he got done giving his testimony, he said, King Agrippa, and I failed not to follow in the vision. To follow in the vision. Can I say there's a world dying, going to hell right now? And what they need, they don't need a program. They don't need a proposition. They need somebody who's born again and saved and filled with the Spirit of God. Can I say, it's not just this preacher's responsibility. It's all of our responsibilities. We don't live it on Sunday and live like the devil Monday through Saturday and didn't have any God dripping on us. Y'all with the preacher? And I have to say, oh me, at times. And can I say, when we don't realize that we are the church and we're supposed to be a body moving out, preaching the gospel as in our lives. I see all these men nowadays and hear them say who can and who cannot preach the gospel. I'm reminded in Revelation chapter 1 that through him by his blood we were made kings and priests. That's more than just praying. That's more than just singing. Though those things are good. But it won't hurt nobody if you're in Walmart. Every hillbilly likes to go into Walmart. Dollar General, Kroger's. If you can shop at Macy's, I say shop on. But while you're there, tell somebody what Jesus did for you. Because the world dying and going to hell. Our kids are dying and going to hell. We got a generation that's raising up. It does not know God. Why? Because he ain't got no vision. We need a vision. We need that message that comes from God. Not just, I think goals are good. I like banners, Brother James. I like banners. What's the theme for youth retreat? I've always asked him every year, what's a theme? What's a theme? What's a theme? I like those things, but you know what? A theme ain't no good. A song ain't no good. A prayer ain't no good. If there's no vision, it comes from God. Come to church, do our hour and a half. We're here at Mount Zion. We do about 3.5 hours, maybe on a Sunday morning. Other churches do the same. But can I say something to do for it? I don't care how much time you spend worshiping the Lord, but the one thing, it better happen in your worship. It should fill you up and get you the giddy ups when you go outside the world Monday, Tuesday, and on Wednesday you're about on empty because you told everybody that you come across about Jesus Christ. People's a perishing. You say, preacher, what do we do? Well, I'm glad he didn't leave us without any answer. In the very same verse, he said, but he that loveth the law, happy is he. I find in Romans chapter number 13, beautiful scripture. I was going to read it all, but I'm about done. Had more I wanted to preach, but God says this is enough. Romans 13, he talks about this. He says that we are to give tribute to whom is tribute, custom to who is custom, honor to who is honor. I know some people don't like that. When you start looking through that, Brother Mike, it's specific on what we're supposed to be given: tribute, custom, and honor. Can I say this? Oftentimes, we as people, we'll sit there, and I don't know about anybody else, I've been on both sides of the coin. But Sister Michelle, I've sat in congregations where I watched them examine the man of God, judge the man of God. The whole entire time, he's preaching his lungs out, and they ain't listening to the man of God. Right? And you know what happens? The vision goes upon deaf ears. And since they won't hear, it's not the preacher's fault, it's not God's fault. And then the congregation or them people wind up wanting to know why things happened the way they did. It's like it was in 2 Chronicles. They turned from the living God, the true God. But in Romans chapter 13, it starts off with the Apostle Paul said that God giveth those men, got those men with a sword, and they don't yield it in vain. They swing that sword. That's that word of God, Brother James. Can I say this? When a man of God, Brother Ronnie, gets in that pulpit and he starts swinging that word of God, that sword, if there's anything in my life, it hits me. It hits me. You know what I should not have? I shouldn't have a pitchfork in the pew with me. You know that pitchfork religion. When the preacher preaches your sin and you stab it with the pitchfork and throw it over your shoulder to somebody else and say, he ain't talking to me. He ain't talking to me. So many times, we've got so many people, and I ain't saying this to be mean, but we got so many Christians, Brother Eddie, it's hard to see how anybody can be wrong when everybody comes and everything's good. But my heart's been broke for the last little bit. I love Mount Zion Baptist Church, and I say it's around. And in South Lebanon, there's people that's dying and going to hell. There's people in Morrow reaching out from South Lebanon and going outward. There's people dying and going to hell, and my heart's broken for these people. I seen some of those kids come in here that was hungry during vacation Bible school. And we give them something to eat, and that was good. But they needed the Word of God, and I'm glad they got that too. You know what? You do, be a wonder. We have chicken all the time. I love chicken. It's amazing what a piece of chicken and a word can do. Hey, man. Where was I? Romans 13, chicken kind of throws me off. I'm about done. He says, after you do your tribute, do your custom, do your honor, he says, owe no man nothing. It means you ought to work for it. You ought to work for it. The Apostle Paul, me and James talked about this, he's a tent maker, wasn't he? But also, too, people supplied for his need. That's what the tribute, the custom, and the honor's for. And the Apostle Paul also mentioned, this is Apostle Paul's writing. He said, owe no man nothing. And people saw to his need, but the Apostle Paul also pulled his own weight. And can I say this? When these missionaries and these men of God and these women of God are doing the work, I think when they're doing the work, we ought to help them and support them. The Bible says, start with the household of faith. And then he goes on and says that we got to keep that law. He said, do not commit adultery. That's another God. That's one of those things. But he said, they're all framed up in this one commandment. He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Is that what he said? He said, if you do that, you fulfill the whole law. And this is the last thing he said. He said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. And let's put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it may bother you to witness to somebody and tell somebody about Jesus, but you know what? I'd rather you be bothered and they get saved than you feel comfortable not confessing it and they die and go to hell. I know two people now got saved in a cemetery. Preach it like the Lord's coming back in the cemetery. People getting saved at the dining room table. Preach it like the Lord's at the dining room table. Heard of people getting saved at a footstool. Getting saved at church. Getting saved at youth retreats, vacation Bible schools. You know, God's not the author of confusion. He's the author of separation and eternal salvation. But we got to have a vision. Now, I get the vision from Mount Zion Baptist Church. And you all get the vision of how you're supposed to follow the Lord in this church. Right? And here's the thing. It works a whole lot better when we all work hand in hand. So what we need to do is this. Ask yourself right now. Do you have that vision? Because the Bible says, well, there's no vision, people perish. I hope Brother McGuire ain't offended by me saying this a lot. Or again, when I walk in the sound room and a man comes to me and he tells me where he's from and then he tells me that he got born again and saved and where at, that's what we need in this day and time. Is the testimony of Jesus Christ's salvation. He ain't got it. Hey, it doesn't matter what the other people think. You got to have you one. The Bible says, where there's no vision, people perish. But can I say this? If you love the Lord and you love His Word, He can use you and give you that vision. I know today's day and time. Maybe you're here right now and you're not saved. And there is some here who's not. You're not born again. You're not amongst the enemy. You're amongst friends. You're amongst people who want you to be a part of their family. They want to see you glorify God. They want to see you praise God for what He's done for you on the inside. But all this comes down to this. You have to follow the Lord. And I'm going to ask Paul to come, musicians to come. Every head bowed, every eye closed.